has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, September the 30th, the last day of the third quarter of 2025. It's the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And the markets have opened a little bit nervous. It looks like a government shutdown looms. We're kind of flat, really. Now they're all in the red, but just by a little bit. The Dow is down 21 points, which puts the Dow at, 46,295. We still have that high from last Monday that we have not exceeded yet. The S&P is down 10 to 66.51, and you got to go back to last Monday for the most recent high there. Ditto with the NASDAQ, which is down 58 right now, 22,535. The bond market, we're finally starting to see interest rates come down. They went up after Fed Powell chairman his rate cut of 25 basis points. They actually went up 15 basis points after his announcement and his press conference. Coming down a little bit here today, we're at 4.14%, 4.14% on the 10-year. Gold hit a new all-time high yesterday, backing off a little today, but it's clear up at 3,853. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 25 years in the saddle here as a professional money manager and radio host on financial matters. I'd like to think of myself as somewhat of a pioneer in the financial radio industry. I've met most of the people there. Most of us came from Southern California, where we were kind of based. A lot of financial shows coming out of that area. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, we had new all-time high in gold yesterday, 3,842. It is the top-performing asset class. Well, actually, silver is up even more than gold. All that shines is gold, and gold and silver have been very strong here in 2025. Oil prices have been backing down again. There's no sustainable rally that can happen in oil, it seems like, 62.91. And if we get peace in the Middle East, that certainly doesn't help oil prices. You know,
I saw where OPEC today, talking about some additional output over kind of a period of time, which would push prices down even more.
Yes.
I think they're trying to get back some market share, apparently.
So. And I did watch an interview with Steve Witkoff yesterday, who is Trump's kind of trade deal, foreign policy deal maker out there. And it sounds pretty promising, high probability of that 20-point plan being approved by Israel, the Palestinians, and the U.S., and also having the blessings of all the other major players in the Middle East. That could be a major, major breakthrough if that comes to pass, and Israel would get all of their hostages back, dead or alive, dead and alive. So that's driving oil prices lower. It's good to see that 10-year finally coming down. We're down to 4.14%. We were under 4 for just a little bit. We got down to 3.99 a couple of weeks ago before Jerome Powell started opening his hawkish mouth again. Crypto's coming back. In fact, as I looked at the stocks yesterday, the best-looking stocks yesterday were Coinbase, Carvana. I don't know what. Carvana seems to be a meme stock to me. BTU, the coal stocks, are very strong right now. Robinhood hit a new all-time high yesterday. Shopify, is putting AI into their order process, and Shopify had a big day, and Alibaba also continued its breakout yesterday. Today we've got some worries, okay? And I also watched interviews with Schumer and the gang, and I watched interviews with Thune and the gang. Those two facing off with the budget shutdown here looming, and the probability markets have it at 80%. 80%. That would be midnight tonight, I think. And tomorrow morning, there would be a shutdown across the board in a lot of areas of the federal government. We would not get our jobs report this Friday. But anyways, you know, the market didn't seem too nervous about it all yesterday. I think today it's kind of in a wait and see mode. To see what happens. Yes, if Congress fails to reach an agreement on government funding, a shutdown will occur beginning at 12 a.m. ET Eastern Time on Wednesday. Well, you could also say midnight tonight. At one second past midnight tonight, boom, a shutdown.
Did we figure out if we're going to get, I know I heard yesterday talking about if we were going to end up getting the jobs numbers on Sunday, I mean on Friday, if there is a shutdown.
So, I heard, that we won't get the numbers.
Okay.
So anyways, the shutdown means we didn't get the jobs report until the 22nd of the month, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, we'll just have to see how that all plays out. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing right now. And I know Schumer has floated like a 7 to 10 day extension. So we'll see where that all goes. Stocks on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange continue to rise following the newly published 20-point plan to end the war in Gaza. That's been going on for quite some time. I still remember where I was. I was up north of here at my hideaway writing my newsletter on October the 7th. I can't even remember what year it was now, 2022, I think, or 2023, when the Palestinians invaded down there in southern Israel. They've been going at it ever since. A lot of deaths, a lot of mayhem, a lot of flattened buildings, just an ugly, ugly thing. Who knows? We may finally have something that could stick, that could work. Although almost every day I see, I get alerts when air raid sirens are going off in Israel. That's a daily thing almost. And of course, we also have a shutdown on the EV tax credits. Do you think there will be a race to buy an EV car today before the credits expire? But I also read that Ford and GM are working on a plan of their own to give the credit themselves. I think, you know what that
basically
says to me?
Basically cut into their margin?
Well, no, and you know what it says to me? They got a lot of inventory they want to clear off the lot. Because,
yeah,
you know, once that 7,500 goes away, they're going to have a hard time unloading that inventory.
I mean, wouldn't it have to come right out of margin? I mean, I don't think there's some magical way that they're, you know,
Or they raise the price. I don't know. But I think they just want to clear their books. Get that stuff off the lots, or they could be sitting there for a long time, and they got to keep them charged. U.S. airlines issue a warning on the negative impact of a government shutdown. The negative impact of a government shutdown. You may not want to get on an airline at 12:01 midnight tonight. Red eye for the Bay Area. We're not quite sure if the FAA and the air traffic controllers will be working, but a lot of things. There's a lot of plates spinning in the background as we do our show today, and hopefully they can come to some kind of a resolution.
I just don't want to.
You know, I don't want to see them going back to adding a bunch of spending during a time like this. We're trying to get that spending under control. And from what I understand, there's a lot of spending that's wanting to be done by the Democrats as part of this bill, and that's just a no-go. That's a non-starter right now in coming up with the budget to extend government so it doesn't shut down. Okay, there's a lot of stocks in the news today, a lot of promising ones, of several that maybe you've never heard of. In the AI space, in the nuclear space, there may be a new nuclear player, and it's not one that you would ever guess. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, remember back on after the January 6th Capitol riot, Google, YouTube, Google suspended Trump's account, and they have now agreed to pay him $24.5 million. To resolve a 2021 lawsuit that Trump filed against them. YouTube suspended Trump's channel after the riot, saying it had removed videos that violated its policies against content that could incite violence. The platform reinstated his channel in March of 2023. The settlement makes YouTube the final big tech company to settle a trio of lawsuits that Trump brought against social media platforms in the months after he left the White House. Meta also agreed to pay $25 million. And X, Elon, paid him $10 million, much of it going directly to Trump. This $25 million, however, will go to the nonprofit trust for the National Mall. The funds will be used for the construction of a Mar-a-Lago-style ballroom Trump is building at the White House. How about that? Well, it kind of harkens back to the Roaring Twenties, I guess. You know, you have the ballroom and all the tycoons and live music, and the wine is being distributed, and champagne, etc. Trump's White House ballroom is expected to cost $200 million, which he said would be funded by donations from him and other Patriot donors. So, anyways, ballroom.
He's been winning some. Been winning some judgments lately.
You know,
you start stacking up some of the dollars.
The guy is a deal maker. I've never seen anybody like it. You know, that seems to be his thing, is deal making. And whether it's over in the golf course or whether it's sending emissaries to represent him, I'm sure he's overseeing all of this, the negotiations that take place. Or at a ballroom, you know, at a nice, elegant black tie, tux, whatever affair. That seems to be one of his specialties, I guess. Gold jumps to fresh record high. That was yesterday. It is pulling back just a little bit here today. But you know what? I look at these South African stocks. I look at the gold miners. They just continue to have very, very bullish charts. Okay, Nucor and the nuclear company. Nucor. Okay, Barry, you and I in, here in South Carolina, we knew Nucor. We know Nucor very good. I mean, they're a hop, skip, and a jump for from where I live, right?
And we wrote about them. We wrote about them once. I think it was maybe back in 2021, I think.
And it has not been a very good stock. You know, that's a tough business, the steel producers. But Nucor is signing a deal with the nuclear company. And that's the private company, which is based in Columbia, South Carolina, which is where, you know, the University of South Carolina is. And the nuclear company is a startup, but there's some very heavy hitter players in that. The nuclear company unveiled a strategic partnership late Friday with steel producer Nucor, aimed at boosting the U.S. nuclear supply chain and support domestic manufacturing. The nuclear company, which you cannot invest in, it is a private company at this point, said the agreement focuses on evaluating steel materials and manufacturing processes that comply with the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. I'll bet that's a good Christmas party to go to, Barry, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. They get that punch bowl positioned just right, and every table and the chairs have got right down to the millimeter how they're placed for nuclear-grade components. By partnering with Nucor, the nuclear company said it aims to secure reliable domestic steel production for nuclear projects. And it strengthens U.S. energy independence and spurs manufacturing investments. And I still say that this whole nuclear thing has got legs. I mean, who knows? Maybe the next 25 years or so. But they're going full speed ahead. President Trump now has an executive order out there targeting 400 gigawatts of nuclear capacity by 2050, including the construction of 10 large-scale reactors in the next 5 years. That's pretty ambitious. That's very ambitious. And, of course, those 10 large-scale reactors are in the U.S. That's where a lot of these companies come into play that we're invested in. Westinghouse, for one, which is Cameco and Brookfield Energy Partners, BEP. And now you got Nucor as a player here. Nucor's stock, however, let's see how it reacted yesterday. It hasn't reacted much at all. It did react a little bit on Friday. It had a little bounce. But anyways, that's a U.S. steel company that will be involved in this nuclear push. 10 in 5 years.
That's pushing it. I mean, I guess the good news is if you can get some of the, you know, red tape out of the way, I guess it could be possible.
You would have had 5 years of permit, discussion and one. I still say you're going to have one lawsuit right after another trying to hold these things up, but I don't know. I mean, both sides seem to be on this nuclear bandwagon right now. Okay, you know, my wife and I, many years ago, we went and saw, when he was running for president, we went and saw Rick Perry, who was the governor of Texas at that time, give a speech. You know, just we made the rounds, and Bernie Sanders came to San Diego and spoke at the convention center, and Rick Perry spoke. It was a large field at that time. He was then our energy secretary. Well, guess what? He now has, him and another guy have formed a data center REIT. His partner in this business is Toby Neugebauer. They're on a roadshow for a proposed IPO. This is a $550 million little startup going public. No small change there. A data center REIT, which there are a couple of those out there now, data center REITs. They haven't done all that well recently. But anyways, Rick Perry involved in this one. They're having to upsize it. because of the demand for the shares under the ticker symbol FRMI. FRMI. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this last day of the third quarter of 2025. The earnings parade will begin in about 10 days or so once again. And we are looking for a record quarter, all-time record quarter of earnings. This has been going on since 2009, this growth in earnings for the S&P 500. And as of right now, as we get ready and prepare for the oncoming earnings season, we're expecting 7.9% growth in earnings versus the same quarter last year. So, what can I say? Earnings drive the bus, and the bull market is being driven by rising earnings since 2009, with the only exception. We had a couple of flat years, but that's okay. Flat years are okay. It's not a decrease in earnings. And then we had a drop in 2020, which was the COVID year, which is an extraordinary event that hopefully won't occur again. Hopefully it's a one-time occurrence, Barry. Isn't that the definition of an extraordinary item? A well, one-time right. event not likely to occur again?
Yeah, that's it. That was the problem with the financial crisis. Is they were trying to call them unique events, and then of course the unique events continued to come each quarter for a
yeah. They had
time.
20 unique events,
right?
That
exactly.
That doesn't count as a unique event in my book. Now, okay, so we talked about Nucor, but I'm not seeing any reaction in the stock. That's always the telltale sign. Whenever I read news on a stock, as I go through the news items, I always look and see how the stock is reacting. Okay, here's another one. Bessemer's been around for quite some time. Bessemer Venture Partners. I want to say they're up there with the big guys, who are some of the big venture firms? Carlyle Group, Bain Capital,
Bain,
BlackRock,
even Goldman Sachs. Part of their division being private equity focused.
Well, Bessemer agrees with us. We've been saying this, that the AI valuations now, that we're comparing those with the .com bubble. But they say it's different because of strong revenue growth. And I would say the same thing. We did not have that kind. So those stocks back in 2000 that all of a sudden said we're going to have a web.com presence, they were long-term stocks like the Cathie Woods type stocks, right? That .com money was not rolling in yet. Whereas the AI stocks, the money's been rolling in for quite some time, and the growth is breathtaking at NVIDIA. The growth is breathtaking at CoreWeave. The sales growth is breathtaking at Nibius,
there's actual cash flow, in other words, right? That's coming into those companies. I mean, that's how you got to NVIDIA had $84 billion in cash before spending $5 billion for to invest in Intel.
Yes. So, you know, and I've made the same argument because I was there in 2000 and now here I am here in another huge tech bubble or growth in tech. And I came to the same conclusion. I wrote an article not too long ago. I think it got published. I think it was one of my published articles. Is this, is this another is this another bubble like the dot-com implosion? I came to the same conclusion. Not that you can really justify the multiples that we're at right now. We're at 20-year highs there. Do the AI stocks, it's a small little group that's holding up the whole market.
Yeah, that's when you wrote on September 3rd.
Yes. And now I see Bessemer agrees with me, so that's kind of neat. That's always good to get a little validation. But still, you have to be on high alert right now. Okay, I've been on high alert, and I've cut some positions in half and taken some big profits off the table, and also have cut some non-performers too. CoreWeave pops amid new $14 billion. There you go. There's a $14 billion with Meta for AI power. Okay, so let's see how CoreWeave is reacting today. And CoreWeave was the one, when they went public, I didn't know that much about them. But within about a week in my market surge.investors.com, which I subscribe to, in fact, I've shown this at a couple of workshops, I looked at the sales growth of CoreWeave. And I looked at their last four quarters. They don't have earnings, but you can obviously look at sales growth for some kind of indication. Their last four quarters of sales growth has been 934% year over year, 544% year over year, 420% year over year, and 207%. Now, you didn't see that in dot-com stocks in the year 2000. So there's a perfect example of what I'm talking about and what Bessemer is referring to here. CoreWeave's up 14.4%. When's the last time, we'll ask Jeff what the biggest deal he ever saw go down in the software industry. $14 billion deal CoreWeave gets with Meta, which Meta's got a lot, some billions to throw around, right? Just write a check for Trump for $24 million, no problem. But a $14 billion deal is pretty good there. And CoreWeave's on the move once again. It had a pretty big sell-off, but it's certainly rebounding. Now, that growth, that's quarterly growth. There's two different kinds of earnings growth that we measure. When I do my workshop, I usually go through those CAN SLIM characteristics. The C in CAN SLIM stands for current earnings. And that's your quarterly earnings. That's comparing this quarter that you just reported versus the same comparable quarter last year. And or you could also look at current sales growth, right? You could add an S in there. Maybe that S in CanSlim, it stands for shares, how many shares are outstanding, but I think you could also slip sales growth in there too. Because a lot of times when you see just phenomenal sales growth, you say to yourself, that's going to eventually translate down to the bottom line. These sales are coming in so huge. Remember Nebius 2 weeks ago got a contract that was bigger than their market cap? Well, that definitely fits in that CanSlim category, right, of superior. The A in CanSlim stands for annual. So now you're looking at 12-month growth versus the previous 12 months. And that's also very important. But that could also be sales growth. The sales this year versus the sales last year. You want to see sales growing along with your earnings. If sales are not growing and earnings are growing, eventually that's going to catch up with you. You got to keep both those plates spinning in the air, sales growth and earnings growth, to keep that growth engine moving forward. So anyways, that's a pretty big contract for CoreWeave, CRWV. Now, this is another very interesting story. We've been talking about how Pfizer's pipeline is empty. There's not much in it. So what did they have to do? They had to go out in the marketplace and pay a significant amount to buy a company named Metsera. It's a lot better. It's better to develop drugs at a drug company yourself, with your own employees, with your own research team. But in this case, a lot of times companies that don't have a good pipeline will go out and pay a big price for one. Well, Metsera's claim to fame is they've got a drug in the pipeline that is an obesity drug that only requires once a month shot instead of once a week shot in the stomach. Now, I don't know if that's a big deal, but obviously Pfizer looked out at the world and what can we buy? We don't have much of a pipeline here. Our stock has not done anything for 10 years. And they went out and they made a big investment in Metsera. And this stock is up. Pfizer's up 2.6% today. But I always like, personally, I like organic growth better than somebody just going out there and paying big prices to consolidate companies. Most of the times, those consolidators are paying way too much for the companies they're acquiring. And it doesn't end up well. So anyways, another competitor, Pfizer, now in the weight loss.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go. Do it with whoever you want to be. You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to go. Do it.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, and I would expect the market to be a little bit on the nervous side today with the government shutdown. It's that unknown that the markets don't like, and you know, while there's some good news out there with the possible deal, peace deal in we can make a peace deal in the Middle East, Barry, but we can't make one in Congress, right?
Well,
they're more difficult, both of them. Both sides are more difficult than Netanyahu and Gaza. It's just something else do what's right. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, and like you mentioned, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if you want to cut a check, right, to the Democratic side, then, you know, you could get a deal done probably pretty quickly. But the problem is, right, is we've written enough checks.
You got to stop the bleeding.
Right.
But anyways, who knows what? I don't know if the Republican side, if they've got spending in it too. I don't think it is. They say it's a clean bill, whatever that means. I just don't want anything attached to it, right? No more. No mas. That's what he was. One of my favorite boxers of all time.
Was that Duran?
He was on the sitting in his chair with a bloodied eye, and he said, "No mas, no mas." Speaking of no mas, I know where I'll be at 3 p.m. today, and sitting the best seat in the house at Wrigley Field is on my couch. We did think about flying to Chicago and buying a couple of tickets. It's the playoffs. It's the wild card.
Yeah.
It's best of three. You know, all three games, if there are three games, will be in Wrigley. There will be it seems to me that that's a little unfair, but I guess it's a three game best of three. That's all I know. Our pitchers give up a lot of home runs, and the Cubs hit a lot of home runs. They've got a lot of home run hitters on their team. I didn't realize.
Hopefully the wind's not blowing out. Then.
If the wind's blowing out, oh my goodness, we're going to have a 17-16 type of score. We can hit some home runs too ourselves. But somebody's going home on Thursday, today and tomorrow. Maybe after tomorrow, if you win two in a row, you're out. The other team is gone. Going home, their season's over. So there's a lot on the line. So I've got to get my money management. You guys will not be able to text me or get responses. I've got my head down, my door closed. I'm in the war room, and I'm going to go through our stocks. Okay,
here's
another one.
You've got a solid
one.
Bullpen now. I hear
we have an excellent bullpen.
Saw some pundits that were said you're going to bullpen them to death. So we'll
yes.
see what happens.
Well, last year the Dodgers pretty much pitched their bullpen, pitched their way through to win the World Championship. It was their bullpen, really, because they didn't have a lot of starters. Okay, now we'll talk a little bit about disruptive companies that, you know, disruptive companies, eventually competition comes along. And you can definitely say that about Tesla. I remember Green Mountain Coffee with their K cups when the competition came along and the patent wore off of that K cup. Well, OpenAI plans to launch a social app for AI videos to challenge TikTok. So an AI video, I mean, you can tell, I don't know what the program is. You do it on OpenAI, create a video about how to catch fish on the Wando River, redfish on the Wando River. You know, we're getting into crazy stuff here, and you're not going to know what's real and what's true. You're going to see videos that look real, and they were created by AI. We're entering into some very scary territory here. But the bottom line is OpenAI is taking on TikTok with their own. OpenAI could be one of the most dangerous companies ever created.
Could be one of the best. Who knows?
Or one of the most helpful. I researched something this morning. And I got some answers that I had no idea. About Michigan and the church shooting there. I went to a ChatGPT and found out some things about the ties that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has to Michigan. Woodward Avenue was actually named by Joseph Smith's mother. Let's see, father-in-law, grandfather-in-law. So there's a lot of ties. We were just there on Woodward Avenue. So anyways, it can be helpful, but it also is a scary deal. Raytheon gets a $5 billion contract from the U.S. Army. Coyote missile launchers. Now, the Coyote missiles are the ones that Russia is saying, no mas, that's a bridge too far. You start firing Coyote missiles into us, and we're talking World War III. But Raytheon has received a U.S. Army contract for the Coyote missile. We don't know where they're going to end up, but that's a big contract. And OpenAI, speaking of which, they're private. They're not public. But their first half revenue climbed 16% to $4.3 billion. So they have sales, significant sales. And growing rapidly. You know, when they go public, that will be one of the biggest IPOs, I would think, of all time. And then in the meantime, we were talking about the problem with an abundance of wood, timber here in America. Trump slaps a 10% tariff on lumber coming into America and on kitchen cabinets coming into America from out of the country, bathroom vanities, and upholstered wooden furniture. So there's a nod to North Carolina and other areas of America that build these things here in the U.S. And, of course, China, which doesn't have the labor laws, which doesn't have the safety laws, which doesn't have the EPA laws that America has, they're going to be hit with the tariffs. So he's looking out for U.S. industry, our sawmills, our manufacturing, whether it's cabinetry or furniture. Thomasville, there in North Carolina, big center of furniture making. And last but not least, Exxon to cut 2,000 jobs in a restructuring. Okay, we're out of time. The drama will play out today in the Middle East. And in the biggest war zone of all, Washington, D.C., to get a four-week trial to our newsletter and live trades, GundersonCapital.com, and to make an appointment with us to get a babysitter in place for your holdings and portfolio, and someone to tend the flock there, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
Buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.